Welcome back, everyone, to the Matthew Santoro podcast. Today's Monday, November 9th, and the topic of today's podcast is going to be about dealing with loss. And I feel that it's very appropriate, especially in the age that we live in, especially in the year that we're living in, 2020, to talk about loss, because so many of us have dealt with tremendous loss this year. And the tone of this podcast is going to be a little more serious than normal. It's not intended to be a downer in any way, but it is a bit more serious in tone because so many people are suffering this year, whether it be through the loss of a job, through the loss of their finances, through the loss of their health, or through the loss of someone they knew, a loved one, someone close to them, or other. And I want to talk about all those topics. I want to touch on all of them because this was inspired by something that happened to me last night. Last night, or should I say early this morning, at around 1 a.m., I got multiple phone calls and text messages from a friend of mine frantically trying to get through to me, as well as my other friend, because a mutual friend of ours passed away. And this individual we've known for over 10 years, and we knew that they had some demons. We knew that they had some problems that forced us to distance ourselves from this individual. Not out of spite, but in fact, quite the opposite, out of love. Because we didn't want to enable this person anymore with the lifestyle choice that they were making. And it was that choice. And I hesitate to call it a choice. And I don't want to get into details here, but some of the choices they made led to their ultimate demise. And it's a very sad story. And I would love to get into details about it, but this individual's death is not public yet. They do have a bit of an online presence, and it's simply not my story to tell yet. And in the event that the family gives the okay, I would be more than happy to make a video on my Matthew Santoro Plus channel, which is another channel I recently made on YouTube, talking about the best moments and the best memories with this individual. But as of today, we are in mourning. And this is the second person in a few years that I've lost that I've known very well or has been close to me. And even though I didn't speak to this person much, especially over the last year or so, because like I said, we needed to give this person space to fix their problems, and we didn't want to enable them anymore. Unfortunately, that didn't go so well, and they weren't able to do that. And instead of sort of hitting a rock bottom and thinking, hey, I need to change my life, sometimes people don't recover from that. But the other person that was very close to me was my grandmother. And that was a couple years ago now. I lost my Nona, I believe about 2 years ago. Time flies. But she's the first grandparent that I lost. And I'm 35 years old. And at the time, I was 33. And that's a real blessing, if you think about it. To have all four grandparents at the age of 33 is very rare. And her death was very untimely. It was very unexpected. She was, I think, 78. She was the youngest of her sisters. It was very unexpected. She just dropped of a heart attack. It was very sad. I remember the day my dad called me. He said, are you sitting down? And he was crying. And I knew right away it was a family member. I figured it was my Nono or Nona. That's Italian for grandfather and grandmother. And he just said, Nona died. And I want to tell you guys how I learned to deal with death and learned to deal with loss. And I want to start with the grandfather of all loss, the ultimate, which is death of a member of the family, a friend, someone close to you, because death is really the ultimate. Every fear that we have in life can ultimately be whittled down to the fear of death. And when she passed, luckily at that time, I had been very much in spiritual mode. I had been very much in a mode of, well, people pass, but I believe in our spirits moving on. But I didn't really understand what it meant to believe in an afterlife, if you will. And I want to talk about that because I want to explain it to you why I believe there's an afterlife in both scientific terms and spiritual terms. I don't want to say religious terms because the term religion turns a lot of people off, and I'm not a religious person. However, I am spiritual. And I want to tell you how I've learned to deal with loss, specifically death. One huge resource that I want to share with a lot of you, if you are dealing with it, is a book called No Death, No Fear. If you're watching this on YouTube, the book is on the screen right now. It's by a Buddhist monk named Thich Nhat Hanh. And this book single-handedly changed my perception on death. No Death, No Fear is the perfect title because it will literally take away your fear of death. What this book essentially teaches you is that you cannot ever truly go away. You cannot ever truly be destroyed. And it teaches you to let go. And some of the concepts in this book I want to share with you now. Starting with what I believe is, we'll start with the scientific, just because I know there's a lot of skeptical people out there. The scientific explanation of, well, let's start with the first, I think it's the first or second law of thermodynamics, which is matter and energy cannot be created nor destroyed. That is a scientific fact, and many of you have probably heard that in the past. Now, how does that apply to the situation? In your body right now, you have electricity flowing through you. That electricity beats your heart. And when you pass, that electricity has to go somewhere. It cannot be destroyed based on the law of thermodynamics. So what that means is even though your shell, the thing that makes you up, that you identify as you, Sally Smith, John Doe, Matthew Santoro, whoever, even though that goes away, what makes you you can never go away because it cannot be destroyed. Now, if you're more of a spiritual person, there's an even greater explanation for that. And the way that Thich Nhat Hanh explains it in his book is that everything is a part of everything, and you cannot take you out of this universe in any way. Because if you took you listening or watching this right now, whether you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or on my YouTube channel, you can never be removed from this universe. Because if you were, the entire universe would unravel and cease to exist. The entire universe literally depends on you existing. Now, how, you might ask? Let me give you the example of a cloud. If you took a single cloud out of the sky, which often happens, there's often times where we look in the sky, we see a cloud, oh, that's a beautiful cloud, you'll say, and then the cloud will disappear, and we assume that the cloud is gone. It disappeared, it was removed from existence, which you could equate to someone dying. When that happens, the cloud doesn't actually disappear. The cloud simply transforms as we transform when we die. When a cloud disappears, it becomes, say, rain. That rain goes into the soil. The soil turns into grass. The grass feeds the cow. The cow feeds the human, and so forth and so forth and so forth. It's the circle of life. So quite literally, if you took any one ingredient that makes you up, including your parents' DNA, anything of that matter, you would cease to exist. You are your parents. You are your parents' parents, dating all the way back infinitum. And if you took away your parents out of this universe, even just say your father, you would cease to exist. And if you cease to exist, all the things that are affected by you would cease to exist. And thus the entire universe, it would unravel. And that should give you some hope. That should give you a lot of hope, because what that means is that you matter. A lot of people have trouble with this nowadays. People think that they're worthless. They suffer from depression, anxiety. But when you realize that the entire universe depends on you existing, the beautiful creature that you are, to me, that gives me a lot of hope. That gives me a lot of just good old-fashioned happy feelings. You literally have stardust inside of you. You are made of stardust. You magical skeleton wrapped in meat. Think about that. There are particles of the universe inside of you right now. And so we never really die. And that's why I have a tattoo on my arm that says death is an illusion. And I'm showing it on my YouTube channel right now at the 11 minute and 23 second mark or so. Because it is an illusion. It's something that we perceive. But perception itself is an illusion. Because everything that we see is just through our lens, through our conditioning, through the way that we've been taught to see the world. And this book, along with a lot of other spiritual teachings in the books behind me that I've learned to, you know, through the things I've read, have taught me that there is something after death. And so my friend passing, as tragic as it was, because he was 38 years old, 3 years older than me, I feel his presence. And I know that he can hear me right now. And I know that he's smiling because he's not in pain. And he knows the gratitude I had for his friendship and for what he's done for me in my life. And the same thing goes for my Nona. My grandmother is with me every day. She died when I was in Los Angeles. And to this day, I feel closer to her than I did pretty much ever before. And this should be a good lesson for all of you to do a few things. Number one, visit people more, especially older people. They get very lonely and they love you. Even if you don't talk regularly, I promise you, your grandfather, your grandmother, whoever you have left, thinks about you all the time. And if you just called them, just a call, it would absolutely make their week, I promise you. So after this podcast, I'd like to challenge you, for lack of a better term, to call not just your grandparents, but perhaps somebody that you haven't spoken to in a while. And that leads me to my second point, which is tell someone that you care about that you care about them before it's too late. This individual that passed, I had been thinking a lot about them lately because I miss talking to them. They made some mistakes and they took some life choices and some paths that I don't agree with and that we chose not to enable as their friend, a few of us. But at the end of the day, I still cared about them tremendously. And I was thinking lately, I should just send him a random message saying, hey man, I hope you're well. I know, you know, you're dealing with a lot of stuff, but just wanted to say, I love you, man. I hope you're okay. But I didn't do that because life got a little bit too busy and now I can't and I never will be able to. And so the second challenge, for lack of a better term, that I have for you is put aside all ego, put aside all things that you think is preventing you from calling or texting someone, and simply send them that message. Hey, I know we haven't spoken in a while, but I just want to let you know that I still love you and I hope you're okay. That's it. That's it. That doesn't mean that you agree with anything they've done in the past. They may have hurt you tremendously. They may be going down a road that is dark and you had to distance yourself from them, much like we did as friends to this individual. And it's okay to love someone from a distance. But you never know when somebody's on the edge and when that timing might pull them back from it. You never know. I've had people message me on social media saying, Matt, I was going to kill myself, and I happened to come across one of your videos, and I went down the rabbit hole of watching all your videos, and it stopped me from doing it. It just made me happier. I can't explain it, but there was something about it that just pulled me out of that pit. And that affected me tremendously, and that's happened many times over the last 10 years of making videos. Because you never know what impact you have on another person's life. Even the smallest actions can have massive consequences, huge ripple effects that you may never know about. You may never know the outcome or the consequences of the choices or a single choice that you make. But I can tell you this, any choice made out of love is the right choice. Period. If you call someone or you text someone and it's out of love and there's truly no ego involved, especially when it comes to people you haven't talked to in a while, hey man or hey girl, you know, I know we have a hatchet to bury, but I just want to say I hope you're well. That's all. Now, you don't control that person's response. That person might not be ready to heal. That person might say, F you, get bent. I don't think that's a phrase people say anymore, but you get my point. And that's fine. And that should just be a symbol to you that you are ready to move on and they're not. And that's okay. Everybody moves at their own pace. Sometimes people choose to stay in pain. It's a comfort zone. I know a lot about that. I was depressed for years and I was comfortable in that zone. It's all I knew. I had wired my brain to be negative, negative, negative. And it was awful. But up until a certain point, I knew that the pain of change, what it would take to change that, was currently outweighing the pain of the comfort zone that I was in. And people don't change until the pain of change is less than the current pain that they're in. That's just human nature. And sometimes people don't escape from that pain, as is the case with my friend last night. And so, life moves on. And you know, the second thing I want to talk about in this podcast now, related to life moving on, is non-attachment. And again, this is a huge topic talked about in this book. And again, I highly recommend you pick this up. No Death, No Fear. There are other books I've read, but this one in particular is very powerful. And he puts a lot of spiritual terms in very simplistic terms. He even talks about scientifically how, you know, you don't really ever die. And non-attachment is a big principle in Buddhism. You know, the second, you know, on my arm, I have the four noble truths of Buddhism. And they are: suffering exists, there's a cause of suffering, there's an end to suffering, and there's a way to prevent future suffering. Those are the four noble truths of Buddhism. And again, if you're watching this on my YouTube channel, I have them in traditional Chinese writing, some of my favorite tattoos if you want to see it, at around the 19-20 second mark or so. But the second rule is there's a cause of suffering. And in Sanskrit, that's called Trishna, which is clinging. Trishna means clinging. That's the best translation. Holding on. Not able to let go. Selfish desire, all of the above. And without clinging, suffering cannot exist. If you don't cling to your possessions, you can't suffer when you lose them. If you don't cling to the idea that you need this person in your life, whoever they are, when you lose them, which inevitably you will, make no mistake about it, nothing's forever. Whether you get a divorce or you break up or they die. But somebody that you love is going to leave you eventually. Everyone is. When you learn to accept that, you are no longer clinging because you recognize that everything is impermanent. It's the principle of impermanence. And that's a massive part of Buddhism. Now, I'm not a Buddhist, but I follow some of the teachings of the Buddha, much like I follow the teachings of Christ, much like I follow the teachings of Lao Tzu, Krishna, a lot of enlightened beings in the past. And the idea that everything is impermanent, the first thing a lot of people think of is, man, that's a downer. What a depressing thing to think that everything disappears eventually. But it's really not. And I'm going to tell you why. Because that's what makes life beautiful, is that everything is impermanent. If everything was permanent and you never lost anything, life would lose its meaning. Think about that. If you lived forever and everyone you know lived forever, the times you spent together wouldn't really mean as much because you would have an infinite amount of time to spend time with that person. But the fact that you know that that person is going away to school, or as a mother, your son or daughter is leaving and moving out, or you lost, or your husband has cancer, or any number of things. When you lose something, or you know eventually you're going to lose something, whether it's a living being or a material asset, you start to appreciate it more. You appreciate many things more because of that. I'll give you a very real life example. How many times have you been sick, deathly ill? All of us at one point in our lives have been deathly ill at one point. I can think of a few times. I got the flu shot when I was in high school, and that was the sickest I have ever been. I thought I was going to die. I literally did. My lungs closed up. I couldn't breathe, and my mom wasn't home, and I started gasping for air. I remember I was coughing, and so much phlegm was coming up that my lungs closed up, and I thought, this is how I die. And luckily, I was able to get enough air to call my mom, and she came home. But the point is, after that, and when I got better, I went, man, I appreciate feeling healthy. How many times have you done that? I would bet at least a few. So why wait? Why wait until you get a disease or the flu to feel like death, and then you get your health back and then you start to appreciate it? Why does it have to be that you have to lose your job, the job that you hated going into the 9-to-5 every day? Why is it that you don't appreciate it until you lose it? You might not like it right now, but you're sure going to miss it if, God forbid, you lose it and you get furloughed or laid off or fired, especially right now. That's happening to a lot of people. I think this year, because of the coronavirus, one of the greatest lessons that's going to come out of it, if not the greatest, is people are going to truly learn what impermanence means and truly start to appreciate life. Because before the coronavirus, life was so quick-paced and frenetic that really there was no time to stop and appreciate anything. I recently told a story on, again, my Matthew Santoro Plus channel. I tell a lot of little sort of mini podcasts, if you will, on that. It's almost a daily vlog channel. I like to call it more documenting than anything, but I just told a story about how I missed out on an investing opportunity where years ago I could have invested at a very low rate in Bitcoin. I was actually sitting there with my finger hovering over the button to buy, and I didn't do it. And had I held it, I would have well over $500,000 right now, US. And sometimes loss comes in the form of something that you didn't get. It doesn't have to necessarily be something that you lost that you had. Sometimes it's that girl that you wanted, but now she's got a boyfriend. Or, man, that was a great investing opportunity, but I lost it, and that would have set me up for a while, aka me. But here's something that I want you to consider. Another principle of spirituality that holds true universally. And it goes like this. Be careful what you wish for. How many times in life have you wished and wished and wished for something and then got it and it turned out to be one of the worst things that ever happened to you? There are instances of this all the time of people winning the lottery and then going broke. And on top of going broke, they lost their family and their friends. Or maybe they don't go broke, but they do lose those that are close to them. This kind of stuff happens all the time. Another example was me. I dated someone years ago that I wanted to date her so bad. And I never thought it would ever be a possibility. And by a twist of fate, she came into my life. We ended up dating, and it ended up being the most toxic relationship of my entire life. Sometimes the things that we don't get are the best things that never happened to us. Best thing that could have ever happened to you was not getting that thing. And that's how I choose to look at this investment opportunity. I look at it as, you know what? Yeah, $500,000 would have been nice. And I feel the human feelings of loss. I spent about 24 hours kind of a pit because it sucked. That could have been very real money in my pocket. I could have helped people, etc. But with that kind of money, which I would argue puts you on the road to being wealthy, not rich, not maybe not wealthy, but maybe on the side of rich, whatever one is the more toned down term. I don't know what the consequences of that would have been. We can't see into the future. We don't know what the grand plan is. But the universe does. And you can call it God, you can call it the universe, you can call it Brahman, you can call it love, you can call it source energy, you can call it good vibes. Pick a term that works for you. But the universe knows what's best for you. And everything that happens will always happen in your best interest. And you might not like hearing that because you might be going through something right now where you think that's complete BS. A family member has cancer and I'm suffering and there's nothing good that could ever come from this. But I say this with all due respect, you don't know that. I want to give you an example. If you've ever heard of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, which is an organization that was founded by a woman in California whose daughter was struck by a drunk driver and killed. In the moment, that could easily, arguably, be called something negative, awful, traumatic, and she could have adopted a victim mentality, and her life could have been over if she chose. But this woman chose to found an organization that has saved probably tens of thousands, if not over 100,000 people from drunk driving accidents. So, and I say this with all due respect, is it true? Can you honestly say that that child getting hit by a drunk driver and killed was purely a bad thing? I would argue that there are no good and bad things. Only thinking makes it so. Shakespeare said that. There are just events. And once you start to recognize things that happen as just events and hold off judgment, it takes you to another level of thinking, a higher level. Because you start to see things that we would traditionally label as bad, potentially good. And when you really start to practice that, you get a lot better at it. And I've gotten quite good at it. Now, I had a very human experience with the loss of the $500,000. But usually, when things happen that we would traditionally label as bad in my life, I say, immediately, what positives can come out of this? And that's a hard thing to do. It takes a lot of self-will to not adopt a victim mentality. And the truth is there's a ton of that in the world right now. A lot of victim mentality. A lot of people saying, I'm blaming this, I'm blaming that, I'm blaming this organization, I'm blaming the government, I'm blaming white people, I'm blaming black people, whatever. Everybody's blaming everybody. But at the end of the day, even though John Smith might have more advantages than Sally Sue because of his environment or his skin color, whatever, at the end of the day, no matter who you are, what your background is, what your gender is, what your whatever is, what will ultimately determine your destiny is you. And once you believe that and embody that, you're unstoppable. It doesn't matter if you came from the ghetto. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. There are so many people that have overcome. And they're really inspirational. People of all genders, colors. It's incredible. So my challenge to you is to really audit your life and be completely honest with yourself. And being honest with yourself is probably the hardest person to be honest with, because it forces you to audit your life and take a good look at the actions you've taken and the belief systems that you have. And it'll challenge your ego. It will challenge your ego. And again, I want to remind you, the definition of the ego is not the traditional definition that we think of, like, oh, that guy's got a big ego, which is a part of the spiritual definition of an ego, which would be, you know, arrogance, and he's arrogant and he's self-important and oh my God. But when I say ego in this situation, I mean the unobserved mind, the unobserved presence that runs your life when you're not there as the witnessing consciousness, your thoughts, your depression, your anxiety, the thoughts about who you are, how you were raised, your political beliefs, all these things, your religious beliefs. Some of the hardest work you'll ever do is challenging those things. Because when you challenge the things that make up who you are, who you believe yourself to be, your life experiences, John Smith of 30 years old that grew up in Alabama, that has certain beliefs about this and that, that was raised this way, my dad was raised this way, my grandfather was raised this way. When you challenge that, you're literally challenging your existence, because you believe that you are those things. And that's what is some of the hardest work to do. But when you get past that, it really elevates your thinking. So I invite you all, invite is a better word. That's the word I was looking for. Not so much challenge. Challenge is a little bit aggressive. I invite you all to, first of all, get No Death, No Fear. It's like $10 on Amazon. Read it. Hit me up on Twitter. DM me on Instagram. I'm on every single social media platform, or even the comments of this video on YouTube. And let me know what you think, or maybe you've already read it. But most importantly, reach out to somebody that you haven't spoken to in a while and just tell them how you feel. Try to mend that bridge and do it for yourself. You deserve peace, especially during this year. Especially during this year. And challenge your beliefs. Challenge perhaps old belief systems that simply aren't working for you anymore. Are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Have you ever considered why you're those things? Is it because your mom and dad taught you to be that way? Are you afraid that perhaps it would be something that would completely disrespect them, a betrayal even, to vote Republican if you're black? And I say that because the vast majority of black Americans vote Democrat. Is that something that you'd be able to do? Have you even considered the other side, talking to a Republican? And Republicans, have you considered doing the opposite? And I use that example because there's so much divide in America right now, but we covered that in the last podcast, so we don't have to go over that again. I really want all of you to try those things and try it right after this. If you're listening to this right now, there's no time like the present, quite literally. All we have is right now. And so let go of anything that's happened in the past. Be the bigger person. Reach out to someone that maybe you have some bad blood with. Or reach out to a family member that you don't have bad blood with, but that you just haven't talked to in a while, or a friend. Because you never know when the opportunity to do that may disappear. And you'll never get it again. And that's my scenario today. So with that, I invite you to grow after this podcast. And if you got any value out of this podcast, I'd be incredibly grateful if you rated this 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. On YouTube, there will be a link in the description. And if you're listening to it right now on Apple Podcasts, just tap my image or go to my profile, whatever, go to reviews, and it would mean a lot to me because it does help algorithmically, and it lets me know that you get value out of this podcast, and it just takes a moment. So thank you all very much. I wish the absolute best for you. I hope you're staying well, and I hope you grow. Take care, everyone.